I want to take just a few moments and invite your attention to the book of Romans. Book of Romans chapter 5, verse 5 is where we'll begin reading. And we're going to talk about our hope. Our hope of who we are as children of God. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Again, let us turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Brother Mike Goodson, would you lead us, please?
Blessing upon the words that you put on Brother Doug's heart tonight, that he speaks in spirit and truth, that we might apply it to our lives.
Amen. You may be seated. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 13 and verse 12, it says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life." The idea there is a life without hope is heartbreaking. And in verse 5, we're told that the hope that we have in God, the love of God, has been poured out in our lives. Because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts, we're different. He's speaking of a stability on the inside. A stability that even though tested and tried, is still there. And just coming off the verses, he speaks of tribulations and the tribulations that produces perseverance and perseverance of character. And through all those situations of life, on the inside, there's a stability. It's going to be okay. Okay? You know it's going to be okay, right?
Amen.
Sometimes it's hard to hear that voice. But the love of God has been literally poured out into us. The challenge is, listen to the voice. And I'm not talking about made up voices, okay? I'm talking about the Holy Spirit that lives within, okay? Listen to the voice of assurance that says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." The voice that says, "I love you when it seems nobody else does." The voice that says, "Hey, I know it's tough right now, but it's going to be okay." The Holy Spirit that lives within. Have you ever heard the Holy Spirit speak?
Amen.
Absolutely. If you're a child of God, He does speak. Oftentimes we get sidetracked because life gets overwhelming and we get into situations that are just, you know, all we can see is the situation, but that voice, that Holy Spirit is still dwelling within us. And that's what he's talking about here when he said hope does not disappoint. The hope that he's talking about there is the hope that we have in God. How do we know that we have hope? Well, here's the God that we serve. And that's what he does, explaining in verses 6 through about 11 here. He said, here's the proof. Here's how you know you can count on God. Here's how you know it's going to be okay. Because in verse 6 it said, when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Without strength, meaning helpless or weak or sick, on our behalf, the ungodly, that's you and I, Christ died. And the amazing part is not just that Christ died, but the amazing part is who Christ died for. He didn't die for good people. Okay? As a matter of fact, as we read this, it said, for scarcely for a righteous man one would die. The word scarcely, of course, is possible but not very likely. Alright? Maybe for a righteous man, someone else would lay down their life. Maybe, perhaps for a good man, someone would step in and lay down their life. But God, here's how you know that's going to be okay. But God demonstrates His love. First thing, the two words that changes everything in verse 8. But God. Alright? And you put "but God" in front of anything else and it changes the whole outlook. But God demonstrates or makes known His love. And that's also interesting in that word, and I hope I don't bore you, but that word demonstrates is present tense. Alright? And we look at Christ died 2,000 years ago. He's speaking as though Christ is dying, giving His life for you right here and right now. And it reminds us that, hey, the relevance of the crucifixion and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is just as profound today as it was 2,000 years ago. And it's still as effective today as it was 2,000 years ago. But God demonstrates. But you know, here's also interesting. That word not only means to show or demonstrate, it means to stand with. And I never got that before. I don't know, sometimes you miss things. But God has demonstrated His love by standing for sinners such as you and me. That's profound. You know? If you're at that point where it looks like, oh, there's no hope, and does God really care? Hey, yes, God really cares. Look at what He's done. He's demonstrated. He's proven by standing with you, an ungodly sinner, such as you and I. I love that. And because this is how God feels about you, you have a peace within. Not only is it that demonstration or that proof of love, it is also, verse 9, much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath to come. You do know that we don't have to be afraid of God's judgment anymore. Amen. Right? That we don't have to worry about how things go. Have you ever been afraid as you watch the news and you look at where our country is and you think, oh my, I don't know how this thing's going to turn out. If you're a child of God, you know how this thing's going to turn out. Amen. It's going to be all right. We win. We read the last book and we know very quickly that we, as children of God, we may face difficulty in this life, but glory to God, we don't face the judgment of God that's here to come. Yeah. 2 Timothy 1:2, Paul said, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. It's a matter of having confidence. You see? as children of God on the inside. And I'm not suggesting this world doesn't get overwhelming sometimes. You know, I've been in those situations where I know all the right answers, but I had trouble applying them to the situation that I'm in. We've all been there. When we get there, we just have to be reminded, hey, I know whom I have believed. And I am, that word persuaded is not a wavering word, it is a committed. I know, and I fully am aware that He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. Then we'll, in closing, for when we were enemies, when we were opposed to God, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Here's the, again, the joy. All right? The joy of knowing that you are in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you in a right relationship with Jesus Christ? Listen, I didn't ask if you could do better. All right? If I were to ask, can you do better in your relationship to Jesus Christ? We'd all have to raise both hands and say amen. But are you in a right relationship with Jesus Christ? The wonderful joy about that is it does not depend upon you. Yeah? It depends on what Jesus did 2,000 years ago upon the cross of Calvary. It depends on have you placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life and the Savior. You know? That's why it says you have received the reconciliation. You didn't deserve it. You didn't own it. You have received it as a gift of God. There's the joy. You know, I'm so thankful that I've come to grips with the fact that I cannot lose what I had in Jesus Christ. Because quite honestly, about every day that I live, I'd blow it, wouldn't you? But you see, the joy is that it doesn't depend on me. Yes, I may blow it tomorrow, but Jesus will never blow it. I have received the reconciliation through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Now, tonight, I just want to remind you of these things. The believer's joy, the hope that Paul said it has been poured out, the love of God that has been poured out in our hearts. And I want you to stop and think for just a moment at what you have in Jesus Christ. You know, we often, when we start counting our blessings, we look at worldly things. Well, I'm blessed. I have a home. I have a car. I have this. But look at what you have in Jesus. Amen. Because when push comes to shove and the rubber meets the road, that's going to be what matters in your life. Are you a child of the King? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ? If you don't, my friends, tonight's the night. You need that peace. You need the joy. You need the comfort of knowing that it's going to be okay. And that comfort is only found in Jesus Christ. Let's all stand and we're going to have a verse of invitation. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for today. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word that just reminds us of all that we have in You. And Lord, we're thankful that it's all dependent upon You because we can't earn it. We can't keep it. But Lord, You did the completed work of salvation upon the cross of Calvary. And You have offered it to all who call upon You as a free gift. And Lord, tonight we rejoice in the knowledge of being Your children. We love You and we thank You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.